I used to be someone who's very much a control freak, and recognizing I truly cannot control my life. And it's so much better when I just release it to him. And so much of our stress comes from us thinking that we can control the people and the things in our life. And so when we're just gripping so tightly to everything and, you know, trying to make our plan work, that's when we feel so much frustration.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com or on the Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
So here's my question for you. If there is a class that isn't taught in high school that should be, don't look at your notes. I don't want any pre-thought. I know you know where we're going today, so you probably have a thought in your head, but what would it be?
Marriage.
Marriage and family.
Like how to have a great relationship, communication, conflict skills.
Wow, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking you would answer based on who we have in the studio with us today, something on time management.
I would have flunked that class because I'm really bad at that. And so I think that this is really necessary. I think that would have been a great class in high school because we all have to somehow manage our time. And it gets really tricky if we're moms, if we're juggling a lot of different jobs, activities, all kinds of things. But yes, we have Crystal Payne back in the studio with us today. And Crystal, you've been on before, but welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. And I have two more children since the last time I was here. So
so you really need to manage your time.
Went from 4 to 6 in 1 year, you know?
4 to 6. Tell us the ages of your kids.
We have 18, 15, almost 14, and then just brand new turned 3-year-old and a 2.5-year-old in 10 months.
Give our listeners a little inside scoop of what happened. You decided to adopt a little boy.
Yes. So we were fostering and we'd been fostering little David. We fostered him for 22 months before we adopted him, but we said yes to adopting him right as I was in the middle of writing this book, actually. It kind of came about in a very, you know, unexpected way. And then 4 weeks later, found out I was expecting. So I wrote this book on time management in the middle of morning, noon, and night sickness with 2 toddlers and 3 teenagers.
And if you can do it and write a book and apply these principles, then that's pretty miraculous to me.
Yeah, but, I mean, I remember seeing the title of your last chapter, the chapter I never expected to write. I'm like, wonder what this is, because I didn't know. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, you talk about time management, but tell our listeners, they know this, but you're sort of the mother of Facebook. Didn't you start Facebook? Aren't you the one?
Yeah, me and Mark Zuckerberg, you know, we're just gonna go way back. No. I've been blogging since 2004, 2005. And that was back before people can even imagine social media. Like, we did not have social media. We had blogs, we had comments, we had email. That's what we had. And it's crazy. I could never imagine what the internet is like today.
And then what were you blogging about?
So I first started blogging just on motherhood and life and all of that, and then quickly found that people were very interested in saving money. My husband and I were, he was in law school. We were living in this little basement apartment on a beans and rice budget, and we were trying to stay out of debt while he was in law school. And so I was learning lots of ways to maximize the mileage of our money and started just kind of mentioning it on this little blog that I had, and people were like, tell me more. Wait, how did you do that? How did you buy all your groceries for $17 this week? I need more details. And so I started sharing more on that and pretty soon realized there was enough interest that I would start this little side thing in 2007 called Money Saving Mom. And within a year, we were making a full-time income off of that blog. It just kind of morphed into something far beyond what I could ever dream or imagine. And now it's our full-time thing that we do. My husband is home full-time. He's an attorney by trade, but is home full-time. And that's what we do, is just helping people to save money. And then also on Instagram, I'm The Money Saving Mom on Instagram, just sharing through my podcast and through Instagram how to live with intention and love your life.
So you went from, I mean, it sounds like a big overlap between Money Saving Mom and this book is Time Saving Mom. Walk us through what that is. Is it taking money principles and apply it to time, or is it much deeper.
So definitely it is. And there is a lot of overlap between money and time. You know, those are the two commodities that a lot of times people feel like they just never have enough of. And so I talk in this book about how money and time are correlated, but also how they're different. But one of the things is if we're intentional with our money, I've talked about budgeting for years and years. If we have a budget for our money, it feels like the money goes further and we're just more careful with how we spend it. And I feel the same is true with time. I talk about my time block to-do list in the book and how if I budget my time, which is what a time block to-do list is for me, I feel like I have so much more of it. I'm so much calmer and I'm so much more intentional in how I spend my time.
Oh, every listener's like, I need that. And the subtitle is How to Juggle a Lot, Enjoy Your Life, and Accomplish What Matters Most.
Nobody wants to do that.
I read that subtitle like, yes, yes, yes. But I'm thinking of the listener because this is me. I'm thinking, I'm just not good with budgeting my money or my time. Does that mean I'm out? I'm out, like this won't apply to me, or is it doable?
Well, I think a lot of people, when they hear just even the title, like time-saving mom, you instantly think, oh, this is for people who are really organized or
yes,
for people who really want to be organized. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be more organized. I think that that's great. But this isn't about fitting everyone into a one-size-fits-all sort of plan. This is about being intentional with your life. And so that is going to look different for different people, depending upon your temperament, depending upon your life situation. And so figuring out what it looks like for you to be intentional with your time. And I think for someone, that's not necessarily having this super rigid schedule. For other people, it might look like that. But it's more about wrapping your time and your life and your energy around what's going to matter at the end of your life.
So it's not just a wiring, because there's a part of you that thinks, I'm just not wired that way. You're saying it doesn't matter how you're wired. This is something you can intentionally decide to choose to do. Am I putting words in your mouth or is that true?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, because I do think we need to have somewhat of a mindset shift. I talk about in the book how if we say, I'm not this, like if you tell yourself, I'm not an organized person, or I could never do that, or that's just not who I am, you're never going to change. Like, we all want to be growing and changing and learning, but within the confines of how God has created us. And so figuring out our wirings and figuring out how we can use those to the glory of God. So I, you know, focus, squirrel. I mean, that's just, you know, it's like shiny things. I get distracted very easily. And so it's learning how to use the gifts and the wirings that God has given me and work within that, but then also grow as a person. So one of the things for me was to stop saying, I'm not this. And for the longest time, I just told myself these negative things. Truly, it was negative things. And if we just stay stuck in that, we're never going to change. And I talk about in the book how feelings follow action. And so act as if you are a more organized person. That doesn't mean that you have to become an extremely organized person, but what would an organized person do? Well, let's act as if. Or what would a person who uses their time well, what would they do? Let's act as if that. And probably some feelings are going to follow action.
That's good. That's really good.
I think it's good too. And especially, I feel like you have even more credibility because those with teenagers, their life is crazy on the go. Like, they're at every event. They have so many activities. They're driving. You're going to all these school things, sports. But then you also have these littles in your home where they're napping, you're nursing. You've got whole different lives going on underneath one roof. And so did you feel like these principles, you needed them more than ever?
Yeah. And in the chapter that I never expected to write, I talk about how I actually walked out these principles in that season where there was a lot of overwhelm and a lot of unexpected. And yes, our life every day, it's like I'm straddling college visits and ACTs and nursing and potty training and ABCs, you know, and everything in between. And it's just sometimes it's like this emotional whiplash, but it's wonderful. And I feel like our perspective changes so much. So, you know, choosing for me to see this is a gift. This life is a gift. And every day I get to show up to my life instead of letting life happen to me. It changes how I live my life.
How did you come about that attitude? Because I remember as a young mom, I thought, I have no life. I would say that over and over. I have no life anymore.
I heard her say that a few times.
I don't even know who I am. but you're taking a whole different side. Oh, look at this gift that I'm living. How'd that come about?
You know, I think for me, 10 years of secondary infertility and then having little ones again, I see the scribbling on the wall, the pee on the floor, you know, all of that. I see like this is evidence of this gift in my home. The laundry piles, that's evidence of the life that's happening. Mm. And so I really feel like having teenagers, but also toddlers, it gives you this different perspective because you know those little years, they do not last long. They feel like when you're in the thick of it, it's a lot. And they're never going to learn how to potty train. They're never going to be able to unbuckle themselves out of their car seats. But then you look at your older ones, you're like, it was just a few years and then it was over. And so recognizing this season of life that I'm in, this is a gift. And so waking up every day and choosing gratitude and looking for the good. And so I try to go throughout my day, you know, when something unexpected happens, what's the good in this? And calling that out instead of just being like, oh, I can't believe this. Not again. You know, somebody broke something. Somebody spilled the milk. Somebody made, you know, a mess. But seeing that as evidence of the gifts and the goodness of God. And I think also the little boy that we adopted that I talk about, he has Down syndrome and he has a cleft lip palate. He was very malnourished when he came to us, born at 27 weeks. So a lot of developmental delays. And so every single little thing that he does is something that we celebrate. So I have changed from seeing a mess to seeing developmental milestones. Mm. And so the first time I remember walking into the bathroom and he had gotten into the toilet paper and he had pulled it down and he'd shredded it into some little pieces. And I was so excited because I thought of all of the OT and PT skills that it took to be able to do that. And it just changes your perspective because I'm like, this is a good thing. Like he's exploring. And so then it helps me with my two other little ones to see this is curiosity. And I want to just acknowledge this and celebrate this instead of feeling frustrated by it.
As you say that, I'm thinking of your four-step system.
Well, I want to ask something real before we go there.
Okay.
Because you mentioned something that I thought, I want to hear your journey. You got teens and toddlers. There's a 10-year, you said a 10-year infertility gap. Mm-hmm. What was that struggle like? Mm. If you can remember, if you can go back, I'm guessing that was really hard.
Yes. You know, we always wanted to have a large family. My husband and I both come from large families and always pictured that we would have a large family. We actually never used any kind of birth control. We had three children and we thought, oh, we're going to probably have 8 or 10 or 12. And then didn't get pregnant. And for the first few years, we're in the thick of raising these three little ones. And then all of a sudden they're getting older and they start saying, when are we going to have another brother or sister? And other people are getting pregnant and we're not. And about 8 years into the journey, we looked at each other one day. We're like, the clock is ticking. And, you know, if we really want to have more kids, what are we going to do about this? So we ended up going and getting for all the testing and doing all the stuff. And we found out then through the 6 months of all the testing that they did at the end, they said we weren't even candidates for IVF. And so it was just this real gut punch because we had kind of pictured, well, you go to the fertility doctors and they're going to help you and you're going to have more kids.
And did you go through a real grieving process?
It was a real grieving process. And the interesting thing is I have this Instagram live that I did this video in that where I talked about how I had pictured that I was going to have a boy and a girl. And I had just pictured like our family wasn't complete and we were going to have this boy and this girl. And so then it's weird to say this, but it was like I had to grieve the loss of that.
Even the dream, yeah.
Yes, this dream and what I thought my life was going to be. But then once going through that grieving process, then realizing I have three children, like I can spend the rest of my life grieving what I don't have or being grateful for what I do have. And so just really focusing on the gift, again, of these three children and what is God going to allow me to do that I wouldn't be able to do if I had eight children. Mm. And so we were able to travel and be involved in ministries overseas. And then we started getting involved in foster care locally. And through that, God just opened up our eyes to the need right in our neighborhood of these children who didn't have a place to stay. They were sleeping on couches in the DCS office because there weren't families to take them in. And so we started praying and just really feeling like God was calling us to foster. And so we said yes. We started on that very long process of all the classes and the paperwork and getting our home ready in the last week of the walkthrough for our foster care home study, I was feeling like something was really off. And I was very on edge and just frustrated with my family. And I realized I was 2 weeks late. And I said to my husband, I think I'm going through early menopause. And he's like, well, maybe we should call the OB and see if you can get in for testing. And, you know, the thought never crossed my mind that it was anything other than early menopause. And so he was going to call the OB. But then he was like, you know, if we call the OB, they're going to ask if you took a pregnancy test. And so he's like, I'm going to go to Walgreens. I'm going to get a pregnancy test. We'll bring it back. You'll take it. And then we can call them. So we did. And it was one of those digital ones, which I hadn't taken because it's been a long time since I'd taken a pregnancy test. And so it popped up right away and it said pregnant. And I kept waiting for the not to come up because I was like, surely it takes, you know, the not is going to pop up to say not pregnant. And I waited 3 minutes and it didn't. So then we looked at each other like, what on earth? I guess we're doing this. And so, so that was a long answer to your question. But, you know, it was, we just can see God's faithfulness. And then that he ended up that not only because of secondary infertility, us pursuing foster care, which we got to foster a sweet little boy from the NICU for 8.5 months and then see him reunify with his mom. Mm-hmm. But then also our little David. And I look at, you know, the picture of our family now and how God has given us that girl and that boy that I never envisioned that we were going to have, but also this extra bonus boy who has brought so much joy to our home, who wouldn't be in that picture if it were not for the 10 years of secondary infertility. And so God writes the best stories.
Wow.
That is like, that's really beautiful. And it just reminds me, like, even I know that so many have struggled with infertility and it's one of the most painful things that they can experience. But I love that the doctors are like, eh, there's nothing you can do. And who knows what God's going to do? Mm-hmm. Not only did you foster and adopt, but then you had your own baby, that which the doctors are probably amazed. Like, what? It feels miraculous.
Yes, they truly do not have any explanation. My husband, actually, we went back and got retested after our daughter was born, and the tests were even worse. And so now we have a 10-month-old son, and there's just no explanations.
God.
Yes.
That's the explanation.
And her middle name is, it's Kirsten Michaela, and his name is Micah. So both of the middle name and his first name, it's who is like God. Mm. That's the meaning.
And there's so many times, don't you think, that we have this plan of how God should do it? Mm-hmm. Lord, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I've dreamed about. And it doesn't happen the way we want. And yet God's plan, when we walk it and trust him, is sometimes even more beautiful than we could even imagine.
For sure.
Even when it's hard, he still has some great things in the hardness that he's teaching us.
Yeah, and I don't know about you two, but I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, we're going to talk about your four-step process to get our lives intentionally managed around our time. And that's really where we're headed. But I'm so inspired right now by your perspective on gratitude.
Well, that's why I was getting into the first one, because it's so different than where our culture tends to go toward more of the negative and what we don't have. And social media always makes us feel like we're missing out. Mm-hmm. And yet, I asked about your four-step system because the first one is to pray. To have that attitude of gratitude, of seeing God in it, I'm thinking it probably started there, even with your walk with God. Mm-hmm. As you're talking about it, I'm thinking of Romans. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Has God transformed you in that way to see the good and the beauty?
Yes, I really felt like the last few years with all of the unknowns of foster care and adopting and having a child with special needs and, you know, then also teenagers and biological children, there's so much of my control that he's taken from me. I used to be someone who's very much a control freak, and recognizing I truly cannot control my life. And it's so much better when I just release it to him. And so much of our stress comes from us thinking that we can control the people and the things in our life. And so when we're just gripping so tightly to everything and, you know, trying to make our plan work, that's when we feel so much frustration. And so this four-step system, the first step being prayer, that posture of our hearts of releasing to the Lord and saying, God, I'm not enough in and of my own strength, but in Christ, I can do all things. And so I talk about what it looks like to live my day out of that posture of every single day, just leaning on the Lord, relying upon Him, starting my day with prayer, praying over all the details of my day, giving it to God. On those mornings when I didn't get much sleep the night before, on those days when I need to have a hard conversation with a teenager, or there's something that I can't do it in my own strength. It feels like it's too much. Crying out to the Lord, asking Him for His help, asking Him to multiply my time, multiply my energy, multiply my capacity. He is so faithful. He is the God who multiplies. He can take my little bit of energy. Sometimes I feel like it's like my little crumbs that I offer up to Him, and He multiplies it to be enough. Mm. And He's just so faithful. And so really starting from that posture, that changes everything.
Well, where do you find the time to do that?
That's my question. Are you up at 4 or 5 in the morning? Or
I think so often people think of prayer as like it needs to happen on your knees, 30 minutes of quiet. I can't think of the last time that that has happened in my life. Just this past week, I was working out. A lot of times I pray while I'm working out. So either walking on the treadmill, lifting weights, something like that. And I had 3 children all around me. One was pulling on my leg. One was wanting to be picked up. The other one was playing right next. And there was a lot of commotion. But I could still quiet my heart in the midst of that. And just, I was just praying over my day, praying for my teenagers, praying for what was coming that day. And so prayer is not necessarily something that has to happen in quiet. That's wonderful if you have that space in your life, but don't discount the power of what I call flare prayers, where you just are shooting up a prayer to God. Just yesterday, one of my teens was just walking through something hard, and I called them down because we needed to have a conversation. And right before they walked in the door to my bedroom, I just shot up a prayer and I was like, God, I don't even know how to have this conversation. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. I just know that I need to talk to them and they're struggling. Give me the words. And He did. Like, He's just always so faithful. But so often I feel like we discount His power. We forget. It's like we make prayer our last resort instead of our first response. And I feel like so often we are then missing out on so much blessing. We have God's Spirit in us. We are supercharged superhumans with superpowers because we have His Spirit in us. But yet we just walk around like it all depends upon us, and we got to white knuckle our way through life feeling all frustrated.
Prayer flare. I like that. And I think that's the best part of being a mom that I learned, is that I'm praying without ceasing. I understood Paul's words, like, I get it now. Like, there's no time to just sit for these long periods of time. And some people can get those times. But I found myself also praying out loud with my kids a lot, which is a great discipleship tool. They're seeing me in the morning when I'm like, Lord, I don't have any energy. None of us slept good last night. I need Your strength. I need Your power. We're driving to school. Lord, I pray for this test and this friendship. The kids are praying. We're all praying. So it's this great thing for our kids to see, too, that prayer isn't about Sunday. It's not just about this time with God, which are both wonderful. Prayer is this communion and communication with God all day long.
Prayer flare, we're going to steal that. Seriously, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, if you're picking up a book that says Time Saving Mom, or any kind of book that says something, I'm going to help you manage in your time, I don't think you expect prayer to be step one, which is so beautiful to think, wow, whoa. It's like, no, prayer is something I do at the end, or if I can't manage my life, I'll go to God. You're saying start there. And here's what I'm thinking. There's a mom listening that's like, when you were talking earlier about your life, I thought of so many moms going, that's me. I'm on the treadmill or I'm in the kitchen and there's kids here, there, diapers, poop, pee, food needs to be done. Their life's out of control. So I thought one of you moms should pray.
You should, Crystal.
For that mom. Would you be willing to do that?
You've given a gift even today of look at the people and the things going on in your life that you can be grateful for.
I mean, I was convicted when you said you walk in the bathroom and there's toilet paper shredded everywhere. I'm like, you're grateful. That's a perspective that we don't have. And that leads to joy. Gratitude leads to joy. So yeah, who's going to pray?
Crystal, go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just think of the woman who is listening right now, who she is feeling so overwhelmed by her life. And she just feels like she's in this deep, dark hole. and there's so much on her shoulders, and she just can't carry it anymore. She doesn't want to go on. She's lost her joy. She's lost her zest for life. I just pray right now that you would just scoop her up and that you would help her to feel so carried by you, that she could just have the courage to say, God, help me. And that you would show up in miraculous ways on her behalf, and that she could just start leaning on you instead of feeling like life is all dependent upon her, but that she could put her dependence upon you, and that she could see you show up and be great and mighty on her behalf, that you would do exceeding abundantly above all that she could ever ask or think, and that she could only attribute it to your power and your goodness. And God, I just thank you for the women that you're going to free up from having to carry the burdens of life, because they can cast those burdens on you, and you are going to carry them and be faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I was just talking to a mom of a toddler and a newborn. She just had a baby, but she's also got an almost two-year-old, and she feels like she's drowning. She said she's got no time for anything other than carrying the burdens of her kids. I thought about her as I listened to Crystal talk, and I love that Crystal gave us a reminder to cast our burdens on Jesus. His burden is light, and if you're a mom, you can experience that lightness in Christ too, when seasons of being overwhelmed can feel just absolutely crushing. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with Crystal Payne on Family Life Today. Crystal's written a very important book for any moms out there who just don't know how to manage their schedule or need some help or are great at it and want some additional tips. She's written a book called The Time-Saving Mom: How to Juggle a Lot, Enjoy Your Life, and Accomplish What Matters Most. You could pick up a copy of Crystal's book at familylifetoday.com, or you can give us a call at 800-358-6329. You know, August is such a unique time to give and partner with us here at Family Life. When you do, we're going to send you, as our thank you, Family Life's Art of Parenting online video course, along with a fun card game called Ferret Flush that you can play with your family to get to know them better. Sometimes, as we're approaching school starting again, it can be hard to do family activities, and we want to help with that. So go online to familylifetoday.com and make your donation, and when you do, we're going to send you the Art of Parenting online video course and the card game Ferret Flush. You can donate again at familylifetoday.com or give us a call at 800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, coming up tomorrow, Dave and Ann Wilson are back again with Crystal Payne. She's going to go through a number of steps with us, but one of them is going to be creating a simple morning routine and planning for intentional time management. I could definitely use that. That's coming up tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.